Oh Lord our God. Oh Lord our God, we praise you in this place. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, how you've carried us. Lord, how you've blessed our lives. We thank you for that. God, may we never be silent in our praise. For God, you said if we are silent, the rocks will cry out. And Lord, I don't want to be beat up by a rock. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can share the truth of who you are. And Lord, thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We praise you and thank you in this place. Amen. Amen. We begin today a short series on listening to the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? What does that sound like, and how are we making sure that we're hearing God's voice when we hear so many voices come at us from so many different directions and so many places? How do we know we're listening to the voice of God? Over the next few weeks, we want to do that. I think that's vitally important for our church right now in the next few weeks as our pulpit committee works and as this church comes to the knowledge of the future. Of what God wants His church to be and what God wants to take this church to and do those things. God never speaks for entertainment. God speaks to confirm the truth. There's a lot of people who are great orators and speakers, and a lot of people like to go hear them and like to hear what they have to say. The scripture says in the last days, many will listen to what their tickling ears want to hear. But it's not about who the preacher is. It's about what God says. It's about what God's word says. It's about the message that he has for every one of us every day, not just on Sunday, not just in Bible study, or not just in Sunday school, but every day God wants to speak to us, to his children, and commune with us and tell us his truth and to conform us to his truth. In Psalm chapter 81, the psalmist is writing, and one of the things that was happening in Psalm 81 was that the people had quit listening to the voice of God. God was speaking, but they weren't listening. God always speaks. God always speaks, even in his silence. God speaks, and we must be willing to hear it. The first part of Psalm 81 says, Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music, strike the tambourine, play the melodious harp and lyre. Sound the ram's horn at the new moon, and when the moon is full on the day of our feast. This is a decree of Israel, an ordinance of God of Jacob. He established as a statute for Joseph when he went out of Egypt. When he heard the language we did not understand, he said, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress you called and I rescued you. I answered you out of the thundercloud. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Then beginning in verse 8, it says, Hear, O my people, and I will warn you. If you would not but listen to me, O Israel, you shall have no foreign god among you. You shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hands against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed the finest of wheat with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. Amen. God speaks. But he said, if my people would just listen. If my people would just, sometimes we go, why, God, aren't you doing something about our enemies? God, why aren't you taking care of those who are evil? God, and God says, don't worry about them. They'll be taken care of. I want you to listen to me. You do what I tell you to do. You follow my statutes, my rules, my laws, my directions, my instructions. And if we do that, God has promised in His Word, He'll take care in His time and in His way. How does and why does God speak today? I mean, I wrote down a few things here. Why does God speak today? Number one, because He loves us just as much as He loved those people in the Old Testament time. God loves us. And God even demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He sent His only begotten Son for us. God loves us. Now, when I say us, that means you. God loves you. And sometimes we get to the place where we go, I don't even know if God loves me. I'm not sure that He loves me. This isn't happening, or that didn't happen, or bad things happened to me, or things aren't working out the way I planned. And we go, does God really love me? Let me assure you, God loves you. God loves you, and He knows what's best for you. And sometimes what's best for you is totally different than what we think is best for us. But God knows, and God has a plan, and God has a way. So God loves you. He loves you deeply and completely. And because of He loves you, He will never abandon you or forsake you. He'll be there with you at all times. The second reason is we need His definite and deliberate direction for our life. Most of us live our life like a bunch of men going on a trip. We don't look at the map. We don't follow directions. We just say, I got it. I'll get there. And we'll drive around and around and just have, we think you got this inner compass in us that is doing it. That's why, guys, in your car and on your phone, the voices for the GPS are always women. Just want you to know that. But in our Christian life, we're that way. We know God speaks and God has a plan, and we need His definite and deliberate direction for our lives. And sometimes we don't listen. But that's why God speaks. God knows we need Him. Without Him, we flounder. Without Him, we have no direction. Without Him, we have no real purpose in life. So He does that. The third thing is, God knows, He speaks today because God knows we need comfort and we need assurance. A comfort and assurance is not found in the government. It's not found in an individual. It's not found in a church. It's not found in someone else. It's found in the voice of God. And when we come to that place of the voice of God and listening to it, it gives us comfort and it gives us assurance and it gives us peace in our life. And that peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus if we just allow that to happen. And that's why God speaks to us. That's why God communes with us, as He wants us to have that comfort and assurance. And the fourth thing I believe is most important is this. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him. You can't get to know someone unless they talk to you. You can't get to know someone unless you commune with them. And you can read about someone and hear about someone, but until you sit down and spend time with that person, you don't really get to know them. But when we sit down and we spend time with God, we get to know Him. And God's amazing. And every day, His mercies are new every morning, and we find something different and something amazing. And as we read His Word, we discover new and glorious insights into who He is. And it's so important that we do that. The real question is this. Not whether God is talking. The real question is, are we listening? Are we listening? And are we receiving? Now, sometimes we listen, but we just go away quickly and we don't pay attention, right? You know, we don't hear. So let's look at some ways that God spoke in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's see if He's still doing some of those things. In the Old Testament, God spoke first by direct Revelation, spirit to spirit. In Genesis 12, 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" God spoke to Abraham, spirit to spirit. His spirit spoke to the spirit of Abraham, and he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. God's spirit still speaks to us in that way. His Holy Spirit speaks to us, and he does it by direct revelation. And so there's a time in our life where you just know that God's Spirit is telling me this is what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go, what's supposed to happen in my life. The second thing, the way that God spoke in the Old Testament time, was through dreams. Through dreams. Example, Daniel had a dream, and as he had those dreams, he knew those things. Now, we must be very careful here. The Bible never says, listen, the Bible never says to seek the mind of God in dreams. The Bible never says that we are encouraged to seek the Lord in visions. Now, I said there will be visions, and it said that old men and young men will dream dreams and we will have visions, but it never says seek the Lord in that way. You've got to be real careful. Because sometimes dreams can be askewed in your life. One of the medications I take for my disease is causes some weird dreams. There a lot of it is fighting dreams. And my wife gets the brunt of that sometime. she wakes me up and says, "What are you doing?" And I'm fighting the bad guys. What bad guys? Those bad guys that are trying to get you. I'm trying to get them away from you, you know. I tell her that, so makes her feel better. Night before last, I was stacking wood. Her arm became a log. I kept throwing her arm around. You got to be careful about dreams, because sometimes dreams are something you ate. Sometimes it's medicine you took. Sometimes it's something you saw or heard or watched. So be careful with dreams. But God did speak in dreams. He gave Joseph dreams, remember? Joseph had a dream. He said, "I dreamed that we're out in the field and we're all stacked up our wheat, and your wheat came over to my wheat and bowed down and started worshiping." Now, I don't know why he shared that, because it really got him in a lot of trouble. So be careful what dreams you share with other people in doing that. Thirdly, God spoke through his written word. Even though in the Old Testament, a lot of them didn't have a lot of written word, they had some. They had the scrolls of Isaiah. They had some of those things. They had the Leviticus. They had the books of the law. And they used those books of the law. And God spoke through his word in doing that. Fourthly, God spoke through his prophets. In the Old Testament times, God had prophets, and the prophets were prophesying. They told the future. That's what they did. Now, in the New Testament time, we'll get to that, God changed that up. But they told the future. They told what was going to happen. They said, "Here's what the Lord says." And part of the reason that they had to have prophets, they did not have the word. Because they did not have the word available to everyone, prophets were able to share those things. Fifthly, God spoke through circumstances. Has God ever spoken to you through a circumstance? God puts you in a place, or God does something and spoke to you and says, "This is what I want you to do." And you go, "God, I really don't want to go through this." And God says, "Yeah, but that's how I'm going to get you to understand where I want you to be and do that." And then the sixth way that God spoke in the Old Testament was through angels. The angel of the Lord came and he encamped around the people, and often he spoke to them. Sometime in the Old Testament, it was just his angels. Other times, if you look in your scripture, you'll see that it'll say "the angel" and it'll be capitalized. If it's capitalized, that is a pre-incarnate revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ spoke even in the Old Testament as an angel sometime. He came and he spoke to the people in that way. So God speaks in that way. The book of the law was Joshua's guide. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, it says this: "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and you will be successful. And he wrote that to help people understand the truth of who God was. And then also in the Shema, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 9, the Shema that was quoted over and over again by the people says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk them with them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." What's he saying there? Our conversation should be completely about the Word of God. When someone asks you, what do you think I ought to do? Well, we ought to be able to take them to the Word. We ought to say, well, I can't tell you what I would do, but let me tell you what the Word says. But if we don't know the Word, we can't share the Word. And that's why it was so important. He said, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. He said, do that. Be ready to make sure that the Word is seasoned in everything that you do. Everything that you do, it's there. Have you ever been on one of those diets where you didn't have to, where you couldn't have sugar? Or you've been on one of those diets where you couldn't have salt? It tastes different, doesn't it? Because you're used to that. Used to that salt, used to having that. It's like having popcorn without butter or salt on it. Who wants just plain old popcorn, right? Man, the butter and the salt make it good, and are all the different flavors. That's how God's Word is. He seasons our conversation. And so in our conversation, we ought to be able to throw a little seasoning on it out of God's Word. The more we know God's Word, the more we'll be able to use God's Word in that way. And then he spoke by the Holy Spirit, spirit to spirit. And he also speaks by other people. God speaks to us through other people. Sometimes God speaks to us through our Sunday school teacher or a friend, a pastor, or someone that we listen to. Sometimes we read a book and we see those things. And God speaks to us through those things. Now make sure that the people you're listening to are godly people. Make sure that you're listening to godly people. Because sometimes you go to someone and say, what do you think? And they go, well, I think. Well, that's wonderful what you think, but are you in touch with God before you tell me what you think? Make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. Make sure that it lines up with His will in doing that. And then He speaks to us again through those circumstances. But He does that speaking through the Word. Through the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 in the New Testament says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture. It's there so that we can use it for everyday life. Look, it says it's useful. Useful. It's not useful if we keep it locked up. It's not useful if we never open it. It's not useful if we don't share it. It's useful for those things, and we have to do it in that way. And then God talks to us because it is His revelation to us in those things. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, it says this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book." Scary, right? "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God will take away his part of the book of life, of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book." Well, does this apply to the whole Bible, or does it just apply to the book of Revelation? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe it applies to the whole Bible. I believe we cannot take any parts of the Bible and say, well, that's not important, or that's not good. I don't believe that, I don't follow that, I don't go after that and do that. God's Word is precious, all of God's Word. And we have to be very careful with God's Word that we do not we not treat it lightly. A few years back, we had Russia allowed missionaries to come there back in the late 80s. They allowed people to come, missionaries to come, and we sent a group from our church that we were currently in. We sent them to Russia with medical supplies, Bibles, things like that. Jerry was out on the side of the road, and he had a box of Bibles, and as he opened the box of Bibles, the people just swarmed him and started grabbing the Bibles. And in the back of the crowd, he saw this little lady. She was, he thinks, somewhere in her late 80s, early 90s, something like that, from just talking to her, trying to get her name. And she began to weep. And she through the interpreter, said, I didn't get one. I didn't get one. And Jerry had a little New Testament in his pocket. He pulled it out and he handed it to the lady. And she grabbed it and she clutched it. And she said, oh, I've never held the Word of God. 80-something years old. And she said, I've never held the Word of God. And her tears began to drip onto the pages of that Word. I got Bibles in my office. I got Bibles in my car. I got Bibles at home on the shelf. I got Bibles. All God's children got Bibles. Everywhere. But it's one thing to have them, and it's another thing to say they're precious. It's God's Word. And when we read it, God speaks to us. And He helps us know where we're supposed to go and what we're supposed to do. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking more at how do we know it's God's voice? And how does He speak? What's He do? God wants to speak with us because He wants to share His truth with us. And we have to be willing to receive it. You see, the problem's not God's not talking. The problem's we're not listening. Are you listening to God? Are you hearing what He says? Are you reading the Word and get to the bottom of the page and go, I don't even know what that was? Or are you taking it and you're absorbing it and saying, what is that Word? What is God trying to speak to me about out of that Word? I think that's so vitally important for our lives. If we want to follow His plan and we want to follow His will, we got to listen for His voice because He wants to speak. He wants to speak. Father, I pray that You help us listen to You and hear Your voice. Know when You speak to us and know who You are. And God, that, Lord, we're so in tune with You that when we hear Your voice, we're not distracted by everything else. But Lord, we are focused in on what You tell us to do. Thank You, Jesus, that You're still in the business of communicating. Help us to be better listeners. Help us to be better at obeying. Help us to be better at applying Your Word to our lives. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Amen.